You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern with you this week to look ahead to the weekend's Premier League matches. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps. Hello Lee.
Hello, you well, DK?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in the same city as you, but in a different studio. This is kind of what you've driven me to.
Yes.
I'm not even in the same room as you, but we're about 10 minutes walk from each other.
This could be my favourite Punt podcast ever, incidentally.
Smells
especially
nice
if
in
the
here.
Phone lines break down, it'll be perfect.
Derek, how are you, sir?
Yes, very well, very well. Still searching for my first nap of the season, winning nap of the season, and we're heading into September. What's going on?
It feels nice, Derek. I must tell you, when I got my winning nap, it's a very pleasant feeling.
23-20, eh? What a man. What a man. 123-20 winner in 3 weeks. Wow, your followers
3 years,
must be bruised.
3 years. I'd rather have a 23-20 winner than a big price loser week after week. That's all I'm going
to
say.
No, I wouldn't. So there.
I know you wouldn't actually.
The thing is, we go back to how it used to be in the old days. They start printing the league tables after a week nowadays, don't they? But I'm going back to when you had to wait 7-8 weeks to even see a league table.
Yeah,
that's how it should be.
Exactly. And then generally it was in the Carlisle or someone like that were top then, and then about 6 months later they'd gone down. They were the good old days.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's matches then, and we start with Newcastle versus Arsenal, which is 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Newcastle 5-1 to win this one, the draw 100-30, and Arsenal in the betting at 1-2. Lee, Newcastle held on valiantly for a point at Old Trafford last Saturday, could even have nicked a late winner in that match, and they beat Northampton Town 4-1 midweek. Should be a decent atmosphere for this game.
Yeah, it usually is, isn't it? That the atmosphere isn't usually the problem when they're going okay. One of our colleagues, big Newcastle fan, Alex, who did the podcast last week with Derek and I, and he's quite excited about this weekend because they played well at Manchester United. But I think it's easier, in inverted commas, if you like, going to a big team and being able to shut up shop. You know, and you know, to be fair, that's what they did. They were very disciplined. Steve McLaren's, you know, got that. You know, he knows how to set a team up to get a point at Man United. But that's great. I think it's a whole different prospect, you know, playing against a big team at home when your crowd is buoyant and they're kind of imploring you to go forward. They found a level in midweek, didn't they? 4-1 against Northampton. So we found, you know, that's where they are at the minute. Comfortable win, scoring after 3 and 8 minutes and then conceding after 10 minutes with an own goal. So there were 2-1 up after 10 minutes. A bit of a crazy game, but got the job done, so you can't complain too much. But I think Arsenal will have too much for them. Yeah. Watching Arsenal against Liverpool well, pretty much battered them for the first half, and they found their way back into the game in the second. You know, I think Derek will probably think he was robbed of his nap, but I think the draw was probably just about a fair result. And I'm still searching for that first Sanchez goal. I put him up to score in the game against Liverpool. Didn't really have that much influence on the match, but I think this is the kind of game where he can have influence. Interesting looking at the, you know, previous games between these two. Usually you see goals. It was 2-1 to Arsenal last season when Giroud got a brace, both in the first half an hour, actually. The previous two games at St James's Park, though, were both 1-0 wins for Arsenal. Giroud scored in that one as well. The first Thursday, Koscielny got the only goal. Other, you know, usually at the Emirates, it's a goal fest. I'm going to go for the Arsenal win here, and I'm going to go for that man who I've just mentioned a couple of times to score. I like Olivier Giroud to score here as well. He's kind of player who, you know, doesn't score many goals outside London, but obviously, you know, Newcastle's a place he likes to score in. So an Arsenal win with Giroud to score in the game is what I'm going to go for here.
Yeah, poo that one. Giroud, Devon Locke was a better finisher than Giroud. I mean, his performance in midweek was absolutely diabolical, as was Arsenal's. And 1-2, Arsenal to win at Newcastle. Newcastle fired up by that great performance at Old Trafford, which I didn't think they got enough credit for, by the way. I thought it was sensational. Followed up with an easy win in midweek. I reckon they're cock-a-hoop right now. Arsenal, I mean, you know, Gary Neville was, everything Gary Neville said on TV on Monday, made some inflammatory remarks about Wenger, and I agreed with every one of them. I can't believe that this guy, after so long in the job, there's never a question mark over his job, not even a circumflex. I mean, I just, I mean, what, If any other manager had been in charge of a big, big club like Arsenal for a zillion years like he had, and all he'd got to show in 10 years was two fluky FA Cups, well, he wouldn't be in the job any longer. And I'm looking at, you know, he's made some big signings in recent seasons, Wenger. Now, I'm just thinking, Arsenal don't have a single player who would be first choice for Chelsea. Not that Chelsea have that many, by the way. But, I mean, name a player in the Arsenal team who would walk in into Chelsea, possibly Sanchez. I might give you Sanchez, but the rest of them, not a single one.
Ramsey might have a chance.
What, who's he going to displace in the Chelsea?
Yeah, team? That's a fair shot. Not many, though. I completely agree with you. That's why.
And this is a man who came from a position of strength. He's been there a zillion years, and Arsenal are a far worse team now than they have been. Well, at any time, I would suggest under Wenger's reign, I don't see anything in this Arsenal team. And after watching them on Monday, I don't think they'll finish in the top four. That's how much of a downer I've got on them. And a 5-1 Newcastle, who we might just be seeing, you know, some interesting signings McLaren's made. I think they're a fantastic bet. They'll be 12:45 kickoff. It means that I'll be bruised by the time the 3 o'clock kickoffs come on. It's just fantastic.
Newcastle 5-1 to win that match. The draw 100-30. Arsenal 1-2. The thing that surprised me about the game on Monday night was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I know it's only a glorified friendly, the Community Shield, but he looked fantastic in that match, and he's just getting 8-9 minutes at the end of the game. I don't understand that. What do you think, Lee?
Well, we don't know what's going on in the background. We don't know if he's got a niggle or if he's, you know, not quite at full fitness. So yeah, he looks good when he comes on. So, you know, we might see him, you know, creep towards a start, I suppose. But yeah, he's got a lot of, that's the problem with Wenger's teams. He's got a lot of very similar players, hasn't he? He's got a lot of players who, you know, who flatter to deceive a little bit. I'm not saying that Oxlade-Chamberlain does that, but you wonder how he decides who to fit in every week. Just too many attacking midfielders and not enough, you know, real rock solid middle of the park players for me. All right, Cech was brought in, and you know, kind of maybe fulfills that a bit more, where it's a bit more, you know, leadership in the defence. But still, the same old problems for me. Not to say, you know, look, I think I go back to what I said at the start of this. You know, Newcastle, I like a lot of what Newcastle have got going for them, and I like the signings, but I just think they'll find it difficult to figure out a system of playing Arsenal, not giving them too much space. If they attack too much, Arsenal will pick them off. I don't see them sitting back and trying to play, you know, counter-attacking football at home. I just don't think St James's Park allows them to do that. So that's why I'm going for Arsenal. And I, you know, like, I'm not saying Giroud is prolific by any stretch of the imagination. His record shows about 1-3 in the Premier League for Arsenal, but you know, he's a good player, and I think when he gets his chances, he takes them. So, and I think that, you know, that kind of course and distance type thing at St James's Park for him is why I've gone for him. But I think that Derek's right. You know, they will finish in the top four because they always do, and that's why Wenger's still got the job. Because if you give Liverpool Champions League football for 25 consecutive seasons or whatever it is, they would take it all day long.
Tottenham versus Everton next, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. Tottenham in the market at 10-11. The draw is 5-2, and Everton 3-1. Headline offers: Harry Kane to score, and Tottenham to win 3-1. Romelu Lukaku to score, and Everton to win 8-1. What about Harry Kane, Derek? 2 in his last 11 now. He'd got 11 in 14 before that. He's part of the headline offer, but they need him at the moment, Spurs.
You wonder, have opposing defences found him out, or is he just not getting any kind of service? I suspect it's the latter, really. I mean, Spurs are convincing no one right now. They've gone backwards. And I can't believe Everton are 3-1 to win here. You know, they haven't done too much wrong, Everton, this season. I've no idea. I think, you know, I'd actually take Everton to finish above Spurs this season. This is the battle for eighth spot, some are saying. But I would suggest Everton might get there instead of Spurs. I mean, they both had a difficult transfer window, haven't they, with Everton wanting to keep hold of Stones and Spurs chairman Daniel Levy not wanting to let go of Pounds. Have you ever known a tighter man than that?
It's good, that, isn't it?
£25 million this West Brom one for Saido Berahino, and he's only offered £10.99. So he's got some way to go, yeah. I think Everton had a great bet here. I just like Arsenal. People might think I'm anti-North London. That's not true. I'm anti-London. And Everton to beat Tottenham and Newcastle to beat Arsenal, I think that's a great anti-North London double.
Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed. They are a big prize here, Everton, leads. Two managers maybe under a little bit of pressure and scrutiny at the moment, I think, in Mauricio Pochettino and Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, Difficult team to call, Everton at the minute, aren't they? I mean, I was surprised by the 3-0 win at Southampton. I must admit, I didn't expect that to happen. Southampton did have a lot of chances, or shots on goal, maybe not so many clear-cut chances in that game. Conceded two against Watford, two against Man City. Can't really, you know, argue too much about that. Three against Barnsley. Look, I'm going to, you know, unless they start keeping clean sheet after clean sheet after clean sheet, I'm going to be banging on about this all season long, that he does not know how to put a defence together. Yeah. If they do leave John Stones, it lose John Stones, he is in dire straits there as far as defence goes for me. Tottenham, you know, I tend to agree with Derek in terms of the prices. I can't really go for them. They've shown me nothing. I think Harry Kane's injured. I don't think he's fit, you know, and I think they're having to play him because he's, you know, he's the only striker they've got at the minute, which, as you mentioned, Derek, you know, Daniel Levy's transfer policy. There's some great articles in the press over the last week about how he leaves it late and how they struggle early in the season and how that generally costs them a Champions League spot or even, you know, they're not even in a position to challenge, you know, they're just to kind of, I've been watching a lot of the World Athletics. He's never on, they're never even on the shoulder of the kind of leading pack, are they?
No.
They're always too far away by the time they get to the final lap. I'll leave this this kind of athletics thing now, actually, so they've got no chance of catching them. And you're spot on with that. I'd probably go for the draw here. I think the 5-2, the price for the draw is decent. I can see why Derek likes Everton at 3-1. If you like that, but you're not quite sure, maybe the +1 Everton's worth a look, or the draw no bet. But I tell you, I think both teams will score here, though. I think we will see a couple of goals just because of Everton's, you know, difficulties at the back. Over 2.5, 4-5. It's no great price. It's under 2.5, 19-20. So there's not much in either of those prices, really. Bit of a boring one, but yeah, just a nice solid over 2.5 is decent. The both teams to score price is 4-6. So, you know, there's not a lot in it, really. But the draw for the outrights for me, 5-2.
Good stuff. Let's move on to Sunday's live matches and start with Southampton versus Norwich. 1:30 p.m. kickoff. This one, 10-11 Southampton. The draw is 12-5 with Norwich in the market at 3-1. Not been a good start to the season for Southampton. Lee, something we mentioned in previous podcasts. They've sold all their top stars, haven't they, over the course of the last two seasons. Got away with it a bit last year. Maybe it's starting to catch up with them now. Only got one win in their last nine in the league. If you're looking at that headline offer, by the way, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win the game is 3-1. 11 of his last 13 have come at St Mary's. So if you like Southampton, but you want a bit of a bigger price, you could look at that. But not great from Southampton this season so far.
No, not at all. And, you know, the thing that they built their season around last year was that brilliant home defence. They've already conceded a quarter of the goals that they conceded an entire campaign when they lost 3-0 to Everton. If you count to them, I suppose you could say that was a blip. We're recording this before their Europa League match away at Midtjylland. They drew 1-1 at home with them, which I thought was a shocker, to be honest with you. I mean, this is a team who only beat the top Gibraltar team 3-0 home and away on aggregate in previous rounds in Europe. So, you know, Midtjylland aren't any... you know, nothing to write home about. And I think they struggled. We talked last week about would they struggle with the Europa League Thursday night, Premier League match Sunday. And I think drawing 0-0 away at Watford probably says yes. They would have expected to pick up 3 points from that game, given their, you know, season, their form last season. So I think, they'll, you know, if they're going for a 0-0 at Watford, that says a lot about the team. Now, will they struggle to the extent that Norwich can beat them? Scored 3 at Sunderland, you know, in their only other Premier League away game. They've got a bit of, you know, confidence about them after, you know, decent results at home against Stoke as well. Mm. Tricky one this for me. I'm veering towards the draw again here at 12-5. I just don't think I can trust Southampton. I don't know if Derek's going to say this, but, you know, the last game we previewed on the podcast and this one, the prices are virtually identical. You know, and just to bolster Derek's argument for Everton, Everton are the same price to win at Tottenham as Norwich are to win at Southampton. You know, so I think I can't go for Norwich at 3-1. Don't think it's big enough. Can't back Southampton at odds on at the minute, so I'm left with the draw, to be honest with you. I think the draw and maybe a low scorer as well.
Derek, there seems to be a common misconception that Southampton are a team that are still on the up. They're going the other direction, aren't they?
Southampton are a team to oppose. Norwich, it could be anything, couldn't it? We don't know yet. The jury's still out on them. But basically, I want to be against Southampton I was every week last season. I made it made to look all right, Charlie. But I mean, this time around, you know, they've sold all their players, well, to Liverpool basically. And they've, you know, they're playing on a Thursday night, and then you know we've seen what happens to teams of their calibre or their level. They struggle in the league. You know, a crisis of confidence for Southampton. Three matches in the league now without a win. And their opponents on Thursday night, Midtjylland, they're the crisis of consonants, I think. I mean, have you ever seen a team felt like that?
It's on fire today. You're on fire today. That's even better than your last one.
3-1 Norwich. I think. I mean, you know, I'm never afraid of backing teams away from home in the Premier League, unless they go into, you know, the big grounds, the Emirates and so on. And then I'd want 10-1 or things like that to back them. 3-1 to win at Southampton. No, a Norwich team. Now, in my eyes, if you look player for player, there's not much in it. I think that's a great price. Mm. I mean, if all goes well this week, I'll be in Barbados the rest of my life. You know, sometimes you get a week when
will
you
still come on for the podcast, though, Derek?
Of course I will. Yeah. I might do it for free as well. How magnanimous I am. Not it for me, 3-1. Big, great bet.
Just to back that up a bit more, I was just looking at, you know, I know it's only early days, but and I know it was only Sunderland, but they had 18 shots on goal against Sunderland, Norwich. Six on target, by the way, in that 3-1 win. And the other thing to say about Norwich this season is that in their 2-1 win away at Rotherham this week, a certain Ricky van Wolfswinkel scored. I think that must be his first goal. I mean, he went on loan to St Etienne and scored a few last season, to be fair. But you know, it's his first goal for Norwich for a long, long time. I think the last time he scored for Norwich was the start of 2013 season, 17th of August 2013. So nearly just over two calendar years since he last scored for the Canaries. Mm.
Swansea versus Manchester United up next. This is a 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Swansea 11-5 to win this game. The draw is 11-5, and Manchester United in the betting at 5-4. Wayne Rooney's drought ended, Derek, on Wednesday night against Club Bruges. Only once in his Premier League career has he gone 10 in the league without scoring. That was way back in his Everton days in 2003. 9 without a goal in the Premier League for Wayne Rooney. Does have a tendency, though, to score his goals in clumps throughout his career. Do you think he'll have a good game against Swansea on Sunday afternoon?
Well, he gave the most improved performance in Bruges since Colin Farrell's. I mean, he was absolutely sensational, a hat-trick. You know, and he hasn't scored the 9 goals in the league. And you're right, once he gets a bit of confidence, he does bang him in. And I can see him getting on the score sheet. But it's Swansea, and the great imponderables. I really don't. This troubles me, this game. I mean, I don't know how to read it. I can make a case for all three outcomes, to be honest. In fact, I can make a case for 4 outcomes. Everyone can see United need a new striker, even though Rooney's just scored 3. But everyone but that is, bar Louis van Gaal, he would surely see more clearly if he removed that stocking from his face. That's got to impair his vision. I don't know this game. I really don't know. That's all I can say. I haven't got a clue.
I like it. You're lost for words for once for Derek.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
In this game, Swansea 11-5, draw 11-5, Man United 5-4. Got to remember, Lee, Swansea did the double over Manchester United last season.
Yeah, really confident as well, aren't they, at the minute? You know, going along great guns in the Premier League. Scored 3 against lowly York at home in the League Cup. So, you know, weakened down and still got the job done there. So, it's a really good sign, isn't it? Maybe they were a bit disappointed about not getting all the points against Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. But, you know, nothing to worry about, really. They just look a solid Premier League team these days, don't they? And, you know, they enjoy the football. They're just, I don't know if this is kind of what Derek thinks as well, but when I watch them, they're a bit like, I remember like in days of old, I always used to like watching Nottingham Forest, but I never got particularly worked up by them. You know, they're always a very nice team to watch, like in the 80s and early 90s. And I think Swansea are like that. They're a nice team to watch, a bit like Fulham as well. Nice team to watch. You know, they don't do anything that really gets your passion going. So as a betting prospect, you're always a little bit lost as to where to go with them. United obviously defensively have been excellent. You know, that one goal conceded all season to Club Bruges, and it was an own goal. So it's hard to think that Man United are going to go away and concede goals to Swansea. So I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals here. I think Man United will continue to do what they're doing. You know, why change it? Why, you know, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing at the moment. You can't criticise, you know, the results that they're getting, particularly. All right, maybe the 0-0 against Newcastle, but again, there should have been a goal up. You know, Rooney's goal, was nothing wrong with that. So, you know, on another day, they probably could have gone and won that. But I think Manchester United would go away, be solid again, and look to hit them on the break. And I think if they hit them on the break and get an early goal, they'll do it. The price is just unbackable, though. It's 13-20 under 2.5 match goals. So it's a real struggle to back that. Tricky game to play, but I'm going to go. I'm going to think that Man United will keep this good Premier League run going and chasing a little bit of value, perhaps. Man United to win it by a single goal again. You can play that a couple of ways. It's that tricky way of doing it is on the handicap, the middle one, the handicap tie. So it's Man United to win by a single goal, effectively, is the 15-4 price, the top one of those in the middle column, the tie. Or Man United to win under 2.5 goals. I'll keep playing that because I think they should have done that against Newcastle. And that's 16-5.
And if you do like the headline offer here, if you fancy Swansea to win the game, the headline offer, Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 7-1. 8 in his last 9. So they were wondering how they were going to replace Wilfred Bony in his goals. They didn't have to wonder for Longley because he stepped up, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I didn't think he would, to be honest with you. I didn't think he had it in him. But, he's done great. And I really like Andre Ayew. I've been talking about him every week. I think he's a really interesting player. But, look, I'm going to stick. I think Man United look solid, and I don't think they'll get a goal against them. And I don't think Swansea will really push it. If it gets to, like, 60 minutes and, you know, it looks like being a draw, I think Swansea would take that at home to Man U.
Next up, Manchester City versus Watford onto the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. Manchester City 1-5. The draw is 6-1. Watford in the market at 11-1. Lee, I actually thought Watford might be a shade bigger. They've won 14 and lost just one of their last 18 Premier League home games, Manchester City. They've won the last 8 in a row. 7 clean sheets in their last 8 at the Etihad as well. It's difficult to make a case for Watford here, isn't it? And 11-1, I thought they might be bigger than that.
Yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you know, 3 draws so far in the Premier League, and I think this is where they failed to pick up a point for the first time. Lost to Preston North End away in the Cup. Probably not too bothered by that, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I think City give them a bit of a pace in here. But Watford, for me, aren't the kind of team who will set up, you know, defensively solid and manage to batten down the hatches for a full 90 minutes against this City team the way they're playing at the minute. I think this is the first big result of the season, you know, the big scoreline of the season for me. I think Man City minus 2 at 13-10 is a good price. I mean, you know, you're looking for a 3-goal victory there. Well, Man City have already done that against Chelsea and West Brom. What's not to like about that? 13-10 minus 2, that's it for me.
Yeah, that's the one I homed in on as well, I must admit. I can see this has got all the hallmarks of a cricket score, well, a bigger one than an England cricket score. It's just I look at that Watford squad and I see they've got three points already on the board, 3 draws, but they haven't met anyone of City's quality. And that City performance last week against Everton, I was so impressed with that. I thought, what a job that was. That was like a Mourinho-Chelsea kind of performance, wasn't it? Really, really impressed. All their big players seem to be turning it on as well. And they've got quality coming on all the time, haven't they? Nasri, sending Nasri on and players like that. City could win as they like if they turn it on here. And yeah, I agree with you. 13-10, minus 2 goals. I don't see why that won't cop.
City to win to nil, I know it's not a bet that everyone likes, but that's 19-20 as well.
Yeah.
Watford haven't scored against West Brom and Southampton at home. And now, and obviously you mentioned that 1-0 defeat at Preston North End as well. And now people, well, it'd be folly to suggest that they can go to the Etihad and get a goal. So that could be of interest to some at 19-20 as well. Bournemouth versus Leicester next. Bournemouth 23-20. The draw 12-5 and Leicester 23-10. Derek, a bit of a shock last week with Bournemouth scoring 4 at Upton Park. That was a big shot, wasn't it? Bournemouth getting 4 at Upton Park.
Well, that's for some people, yeah.
Well, they could have been a lot more by all accounts. I mean, I only saw the brief highlights, but reading all the match reports, they could have scored 1-6 or 7. That's how bad West Ham were. So, bit on the short side, aren't they? 23-20. But I'm saying that about Leicester as well. I mean, you know, you don't know you want to back Leicester away from home at less than 3-1. don't know what another. This is a tough one. There's some easy fixes to call here, but some real toughies, and this is one of them. I'm tempted with the draw here, 12-5. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a high score. You know, one of those draws with both teams to score.
Yeah,
yeah, that's got all the hallmarks of that. I think 23-20 is too short for Bournemouth. Impressive though they've been recently.
Goals here, I think, Lee.
Yeah, I mean, I think that without being too boring about it, I can't call it either, really. And I think, you know, the under 2.5, over 2.5 is a pick 'em. It's 10-11 each of two, and I was really surprised to see that. I thought over 2.5 would be the clear favourite.
Yeah.
Just because of the way the games have gone, I think that Bournemouth's last two performances have been okay. You know, the performance against Liverpool, I wasn't as impressed as a lot of people were, just because they weren't creating that much. They were having pot shots from outside the area, but I didn't think they created too many cast iron chances. Well, they certainly did against West Ham, and you know, you look at the performances that they struggled to get going, and they scored those, you know, four at West Ham, they scored four at Hartlepool. Which I know it's, you know, they should be scoring goals at a team like Hartlepool, but they're in confident mood. I just wonder if they'll take Leicester a little bit lightly here. Because Leicester aren't doing anything wrong either. They scored four in their League Cup game as well. The brilliantly named Joe Dodu scored, didn't he? He's got a hat-trick. So, yeah, great. You know, they're in goal-scoring form. They scored two against West Ham away, scored four against Sunderland as well. They were scoring in pre-season. The only team they haven't scored more than one against was Tottenham. I think just over 2.5 for me. The draw and over 2.5, which obviously you need a 2-2 draw or bigger, is 9-1.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, you've only got 2-2 or 3-3 on your side, to be fair. So, you know, other people may just prefer just to back the 2-2, which is 14-1. But you never know with these two teams at the minute. 3-3 at 50s.
Riyad Mahrez, a man that you mentioned last week on the podcast, Lee, is performing superbly well at the moment. Six in his last six in the Premier League.
Yeah, really good.
He looked a decent player last season, didn't he, as well? There was a guy I always had, always thought was great. He never got a look in anywhere, Jason Puncheon. And he's come to the fore, and this guy from Leicester is doing the same. Yeah, yeah. I like the look of him.
I've always thought he was punching above his weight, though. But on the goal scorers for Leicester, if you think they're going to be goals like Derek and I both do, the shortest price of any of the is Shinji Okazaki, 2-1. And you know, so if you're looking for a goal scorer, bet there's a few tasty prices in there.
Yeah, that might be a weigh-in actually. It's a good look. Yeah, I like a look at that.
Liverpool-West Ham is next. Liverpool are 1-3 to win this game. The draw 4-1. West Ham in the market at 8-1. Stat from up to that I really like here. West Ham won none of their last 42 league visits to Anfield, losing 31 of those, Lee. Any explanation as to what's happened to West Ham after that opening day win against Arsenal?
I think maybe, you know, I was saying earlier on in the podcast about, you know, Newcastle going to Man United, and it's easy to set up, relatively speaking, obviously, to set up and thwart a team if you're organised, which is the least that should be expected of any football side, in my opinion. It's harder to then go and make games and win games. You know, they'll be desperately disappointed to have lost in the fashion they did against Bournemouth, of course, and Leicester, two teams that they expect to get points against. So it'll be interesting to see now if the confidence has been blown away to such an extent that they can't go and do another job on Liverpool like they did at Arsenal. Liverpool defensively have been great, though, haven't they? You know, we get to concede a goal. I didn't think much of them against Bournemouth, but then this Monday night, I thought they were terrific in the first half against Arsenal. We watched it, didn't we, DK?
Yeah.
With a beer in hand. I thought they were sensational. I was surprised that they weren't at least a goal up in the first half. And Benteke missing that chance in the second half was crazy. I think they'll win here. You know, West Ham don't particularly like playing Liverpool generally, do they? They've got a bit of a hoodoo over them. So I think Liverpool will continue this kind of, you know, this mean streak, if you like, and I think they'll get the job done. They won 2-0 at home last season, and neither player playing this time, Sterling or Sturridge, and I don't think Sturridge is going to make it back for this one. Scored four against him at Anfield the season before that. Suarez got two of those, by the way. But generally, they like playing West Ham, so I'm going to go for a Liverpool win here. It's 1-3. I think there's a nice home treble, City, Liverpool and Chelsea. I think we're going to see, we haven't seen many home wins this season, I think it's six in total. I think we're going to see maybe six this weekend. I like Liverpool to win. I love Coutinho. Derek, you know, loves him. We haven't got the old to score from outside the area bet, but I think when you look at the match market a bit close to the weekend, if all those extra goal scorer markets are on there, I have a bet on him to score from outside the area. He's never going to score inside the area. He don't fancy it, because he just picks it up and has a go. And Benteke might be worth a look.
first goal, 100 to 30, any time goal, 4 to 5 is nothing much. But headline offer, maybe, if they offer you more than one headline offer, have a look at that. Coutinho to score, Liverpool to win is 2 to 1. So
yep,
maybe the best value of all of it, I guess.
Yeah, that Benteke miss, Derek. Mm. People were saying it was a great save by Petr Cech. I don't know how you can miss from there and get away with it. He needs a stern word.
Yeah, well, he certainly does. It was easier to score, wasn't it? But on Cech's behalf, he dived, didn't he, before he'd even hit the shot. It was his only way of possibly getting to it. So, all credit to Cech there. But, yeah, should have been a goal without question. He did well. Benteke, though, impressed me. I wasn't too sure about his signing, but from what I saw on Monday night, yeah, a lot more to come from him. Coutinho, of course, magic. But the two fellas, the unsung heroes, Liverpool's performance on Monday, were the two fullbacks. I thought they were absolutely sensational. Uh-huh. And it's a long time since I've been able to say that about Liverpool fullbacks. Glenn Johnson had a mare last season. A number of left-backs didn't do the job either last term. So, yeah, it's all looking good for Liverpool. They've got West Ham, their bitches, this weekend. West Ham never look like winning at Anfield, but they never even look like scoring. If you look at them over the last 10 seasons, West Ham nil is generally the end of the year of the results. So Liverpool to win 2-0, I wouldn't put anybody off backing that. Liverpool to win at 1-3. Little bit on the short side, given that West Ham went to Arsenal and won. That is the most inexplicable result, given what's happened since.
Yeah.
That's the most inexplicable result of the season. I just don't understand that one. Coutinho, 6-5 to score, yeah. I'll have some of that. But I think my number one bet will probably be Liverpool minus a goal, just under the evens, because I think they'll get that. I think they'll murder West Ham.
One other quick one. While Derek's been talking there, Liverpool to win 2-0 looks great. That Liverpool under 2.5 as well, I like that. 5-2. Yeah, I can see them doing a real job on them as well. I don't think they'll go mad. 5-2 for Liverpool winning under 2.5 goals is my new favourite bet in that game.
You look at like a look of a 1-0, 2-0.
Yeah, definitely.
Chelsea versus Crystal Palace next. Identical prices to Liverpool West Ham this one. Chelsea are 1-3 to win it. The draw 4-1 and Crystal Palace 8-1. This is Jose Mourinho's 100th Premier League home game in charge of Chelsea. He's won 76 and lost just one of the previous 99. So clearly, Derek, Palace up against it. However, Alan Pardew does know how to set his sides up to win away from home in the Premier League.
I made a vow at the beginning of the season, back Palace at big prices away from home at the big clubs, because I think they'll give them a few problems. And this falls under that banner, doesn't it? 8-1. I'm giving them half a squeak here.
Is it big enough, Derek? 8-1?
Yeah, it is. It is big enough. When you consider that Watford are, 11-1 to win at Man City, not much bigger, is it, really? And, you know, Palace are a team that will claim scalps. I can't say the same for Watford. I think the big battle, of course, will be for the mirror between the two managers. I just love Palace last season. The way they went about away games. I remember a game against Liverpool. They I think it was at home, by the way. They just look capable of scoring every time they break away from home. And this is a Chelsea side that so far I haven't convinced.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, because I'll do a lay here. It's early in the season. I'm going to be Mr. Safe, Mr. Cautious. I'm going to go for Palace with a goal start at 21-10.
Okay, Palace plus one at 21-10. And I mentioned that Chelsea stat and how strong Mourinho's been at home. This does look to be a different Chelsea side. They conceded 2 against Swansea, 3 against Man City, 2 against West Brom. In previous seasons, Jose Mourinho Chelsea have been defensively solid. This one doesn't look the same.
Not at the minute, no, it doesn't. And John Terry had a nightmare start to the season, hasn't he, really? But I think the addition of Pedro will start to have... he looked like he got off the plane, put his boots on and went and played, didn't he? It's like he's played with those players all his life, fitted in straight away, and I think they're going to see great things from him. Maybe not all season. You know, it might be a little bit of an Angel de Maria thing where he starts off the season brilliantly and then just fades off a little bit. But I think for the next few weeks, we're going to see him really have an influence. The way he changed that team was really interesting. It suddenly gave Eden Hazard a new lease of life, because suddenly there weren't two players on him. They had to look after Pedro, and that another player on Pedro and only one on Hazard then meant Willian had more space just behind the two of them, and suddenly then Diego Costa's getting more service. So I think it really means a lot to them going forward, the addition of Pedro, and that of course then eases some of the pressure on the defence, because the opposition are sinking back a few more yards and having to deal with more attacks from Chelsea. But I agree with Derek, and Palace I thought they would give Arsenal some problems when they played Arsenal 2 weeks ago. They did, and Arsenal managed to get past them, scoring two goals to the one. I thought Crystal Palace would beat Villa, but I don't think he sorted them out defensively. Two clean sheets in 20 games, it is, under his stewardship. I'm going to go the same way here with the Arsenal game. I think Palace will give Chelsea some problems, and I think with the defensive frailties, and with, more importantly, with the way that Palace can counter-attack. The interesting thing about Palace is that, you know, that they are having, you know, plenty of shots on goal. But, you know, they're also, you know, they I think it's 13 shots the average on per game, six on target. That's a really high ratio in the Premier League. You know, you're only talking about the likes of, Arsenal, Man City. Actually, Swansea have bettered that as well this season. I think that's a really good ratio. So they're clinical when they do counter-attack. So I'm going to go for Chelsea to win the game, but both teams to score here, and it might take them a little while to put Crystal Palace to bed. That's 11-5 compared to the 1-3, and
I
like that.
Yeah, I like that. If you're thinking about playing Chelsea, you need to be on that 11-5.
I do expect a run here. I expect Chelsea to get on a run now, and not slip up for much in the next. I think they'll have just shaken off. It's almost like they started the season last week for me.
That's a massive difference in price, there, isn't it? I mean, if you are a Chelsea backer, I mean, why would you take the 1-3? Because Palace could easily score in this. Yeah, that's good call, that one. Even though I'm going for Palace.
Aston Villa versus Sunderland next. Aston Villa 5-6. The draw 12-5. Sunderland are 7-2. Lee, there looks to be a bit more upside with Aston Villa if you compare the two sides. Slightly unfortunate, perhaps, only to have 3 points so far. Equipped themselves reasonably at Old Trafford. Conceded a late winner last week away at Palace. And Sunderland have struggled badly away from home this year. They've picked up just 7 points from their last 11 away games in the Premier League in 2015, and that euphoria of staying up at the end of last season hasn't helped them at the start of this campaign.
No, it hasn't at all, has it? And 6-3, their midweek League Cup game. Unbelievable, wasn't it? Defoe scored a hat-trick. Hopefully his personal assistant will be in place by the time he gets back, so he's got his tea on the table. Did you see that, Derek?
Oh, God, wow. No. It was the most embarrassing thing he's done since he signed for Sunderland.
Jesus. We were saying in the office, Derek, all the advert was for a mum and dad.
Took
me in when I get home. But it was like, someone asked, basically, can you organise my life? And also, can you design me a clothing range? It's like, what? Hang on a minute. 60K is not bad, though, to be fair.
No, I honestly thought it was a spoof, though, when he was going into, can you just design me an app? as if you can just pick up a mobile phone and design an app instantly.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. It does give you a little insight into a footballer's brain, though, and the fact that the wage, which is decent, 60 grand. To be fair to him, like, if I could pay someone a month's wages or a week's wages even, and get my whole life sorted out for a year, I'd do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, a week's wages for someone to just run your whole life.
Fantastic.
Alan
Kirby's in a favourite to get the job, I think.
As for this game, we said last week that don't expect Sunderland to suddenly start winning games, obviously, but they will try and batten down the hatches, and they did that against Swansea. I think that was a good result. I was more interested in what the manager said after the game, though. It wasn't even a veiled threat to the owners, was it? He basically said, if we don't sign more players, we will be relegated, which I thought was like interesting. So if by the time the transfer window's closed, they haven't signed anyone of any note, then the manager's pretty much told you that he doesn't think they're good enough to stay in the Prem, if you had any doubts up to this point. Wondering if they can get a draw here, though. The problem with Villa is that they've got the same old problems this season as they had last season. You look at the stats, the shots, you know, the total shots on goal, home and away, so far in the games that they've played. The second lowest in terms of shots on goal behind Newcastle, they've had 7 per game. Just 2 on target per game. They have to really lift that, I think, to get anything out of this game. And interestingly, Sunderland, you know, I know they got beat 4-2 away at Leicester in their only away game, but they had a lot of shots in that match. They had, you know, 9, I think it was in that one away game, they managed 11 shots on goal with 5 on target, so they had a go. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm not taken by Villa at all, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Can't be backing them at odds on. Not with what I've seen. Don't like Sunderland, even though 7-2's, so 12-5 for me.
I was just about to say that, Derek. I quite fancied, if there was no prices involved, you'd quite fancy Aston Villa maybe to win the game, but 5-6, it just makes me shiver.
Well, I can't imagine. I can't imagine there's a single punter that will back that. Really, not even the most one-eyed Villa fan. I honestly don't. I can't believe they'll still be odds on come kick-off time. And any other team 7-2 there, you'd be lumping on. You worry a little bit about Sunderland because the quality isn't there. That said, I'm just looking down at the goal scorer markets here, and I'm looking at the two respective squads, and I don't see a daylight between them. I see two sides of roughly equal ability here. Maybe Villa have got the edge and a little bit more confidence. When your chief threat to score is Gabriel Agbonlahor, you're in a bit of trouble. Sunderland, who knows what that midweek win will have done for their confidence. But he's definitely bought Dick Advocaat more time. It's the only thing he is buying, I think. It falls into my old chestnut, doesn't it? You know, a team away from home are bigger than 3-1, and they're not playing at one of the big grounds. In fact, they're playing at a ground where it's become very easy to win at Aston Villa. Again, this is one of those away wins that I can see happening. And 7-2. I know that Sunderland aren't great, and they'll probably be delighted with a draw, but 7-2 is just too big.
Okay, Sunderland for Derek at 7-2, and we finish with Stoke versus West Brom. Stoke in the market at 19-20. The draw is 9-4, with West Brom in the betting at 16-5. The main storyline here, Derek, Tony Pulis going back to his former club. He'll be desperate not to lose, but it seems to me with all this, the impending transfer for Saido Berahino to Spurs, taking his eye off the ball a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, he did definitely. I was impressed with them against Chelsea last week. I thought they played really well, and he could have easily got something out of it. But you know, Lee said this many times, and every time he says it, I keep thinking I should have said that. And he's always turns out to be dead right. Pulis is going to go there and shut up shop. It's an absolute certainty. Are Stoke the team that's going to be breaking down packed defences? It was interesting to see that Bojan got a game in midweek. I think he's put back to full fitness, and also Shaqiri is playing too. But I don't know the results here, but I'm going to play on the under 2.5 goals. In fact, I'm going to play under 1.5 goals because I can see this being a very low scoring affair, 2-1 that one.
Lee.
I was just intrigued as to what Derek was going to say. I was right about that. There were so many options.
I couldn't believe he said it.
There were so many options that he could have gone with, and he picked that one. I'm going to go for West Brom to win 4-0. I think he'll... I'm joking. I agree. I think the 2-1, it's one of those where I think the under 2.5 will land. I mean, even without Pulis in charge, historically, this game is a low scorer. I think we've had one game that's had over 2.5 goals between these two, who are bitter rivals, let's not forget. This is a tasty old game. Not many people talk about that. But, I think one under 2.5 goals match in the last six, I think it is. And that was when Stoke won 2-1 with an 87th minute Charlie Adam winner last season or the season before. 1-0. 2-0, 0-0, 0-0. So don't expect too much from this one. I'll agree with Derek on this one. 2-1 for under 1.5 goals.
Good stuff. And we finish off with the naps this weekend, the moment that all the listeners wait with bated breath for each and every week. Derek, what's your best bet this weekend?
There's a few of them, vying for napism. Like Sunderland even, I could even give them a squeak, 7-2. Everton 3-1 at Tottenham. But you know what I'm going for? This might surprise you. I'm going to go for Newcastle 5-1 to beat Arsenal.
Newcastle 5-1 to beat Arsenal?
That is a big surprise.
Lee?
I will go for Manchester City -2 goals, 13-10 against Watford.
I was going to go with Manchester City to nil at 19-20, so that's so on the cat amongst the pigeons.
I'm disappointed for you.
Yeah, I'll go with both teams to score, Bournemouth versus Leicester. Why not?
Yeah,
I like that treble.
Yeah, I do as well.
Apart from my one, I like that treble.
Okay, Man City -2. What did you say the price was, Lee?
13-10.
Going with Newcastle at 5-1 and both teams to score, Bournemouth versus Leicester. That is this week's landing treble, folks. thank you, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Type in William Hill, and you can get us on iTunes as well. And myself, Derek, and Lee will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.